What happens when you get a great diverse team put together and you're not really using that talent? You're not intentionally being inclusive with a diverse team that you put together. That's really where some of this starts to fall apart.
This is a Security Weekly production. Security Weekly is a resource of Cyber Risk Alliance.
The Cybersecurity Collaborative and WIS is proud to present CISO Stories. Each week, CISO Stories takes a deep dive on security leadership with one of the contributors to my latest book, the best-selling CISO Compass, Navigating Cybersecurity Leadership Challenges with Insights from Pioneers, as well as from other top CISOs and security thought leaders. The Cybersecurity Collaborative is a unique membership community enabling cybersecurity leaders to work together in a trusted environment. To learn more, visit securityweekly.com/CSC or visit cyberleadersunite.com. I am your host, Todd Fitzgerald, and this week we welcome Amy Bojack, CISO and VP Enterprise Security and Infrastructure at the Clorox Company.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on the podcast. I love hunting bad guys. So that has absolutely been how I had been interested in cybersecurity. I remember looking back on my career in about 2010 saying, when am I having the most fun in my job? And it was hunting bad guys. And, you know, that was at the forefront of, really corporate America, and especially for me being primarily in CPG and manufacturing teams. It wasn't a lot of security focused people at that time. And so the infrastructure teams always got involved whenever there was an incident. And that was really kind of what sold me on it. I pivoted at that point from infrastructure, went out and pursued, you know, my certification just for myself. It wasn't part of a, you know, professional development plan that I had at the time. But I remember distinctly the day I achieved my CISSP and jumping up and down, and now we were absolutely off and running, and that is how it all started for me.
Yeah, I think we all did. I think in writing that exam, I still talk to people, and it's like you get out of the exam and you're saying to yourself, what was that? What did I just sit through? I don't know if I passed or not.
It really lets you see how diverse it is, the industry that we work in. You have to be more than an inch deep and a mile wide. You really have to know what you know, and you have to know what you don't know. And that's why having a whole team of people behind you is the most important part of what I consider to be a successful cybersecurity career, is it's not individual, it's not independent.
Absolutely. I'm just curious though, because I you know, we've done over 100 episodes now, and I don't think I've ever met anybody that says I just love hunting bad guys. And so, was there something in your childhood that drove you to want to get the bad guys?
I do think that I have some experiences, I would say, in my past, but one of my number one personality traits is loyalty. And so anybody that tries to be disloyal or tries to wrong somebody else, even if it's not me, I am the first person standing in front of them making it right, or calling out that behavior, or saying that's not the way how we operate, right? So maybe it's my Irish background, but, love, loyalty, and friendship is absolutely how I operate. And so for me, loyalty drives a lot of that intrinsic desire to do the right thing, to have the ethics in what I do day to day, but also really just, if I see something that's not right, I absolutely want to stop it from happening.
And I think that's what's so great about the CISO community, because I see people that want to serve and want to help each other, and that's so important. So today we're going to talk about inclusive leadership for CISOs now. So tell us a little about that. What do you mean by inclusive leadership?
Yeah, thanks. It is really important to me especially when you think back on the last 10 years, and we've talked about diversity and inclusion and cybersecurity maybe wasn't always the most diverse subset of an organization. And it has been really important to me to really dig into how do you move the needle and having diverse and inclusive teams. So we all know what diverse means. It means identifying, hiring, bringing in talent of, you know, varying backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, male, female, all of that. But what happens when you get a great diverse team put together and you're not really using that talent? You're not intentionally being inclusive with a diverse team that you put together. That's really where some of this starts to fall apart. And I have done a lot of reflection on my career and times when I felt like I was engaged, ready to come to work every morning, ready to be part of a great team every day. And it was in those moments where I really felt like I had a strong team that supported me no matter what. And that to me is the key, is it's not as much about finding the diverse talent. It's making sure you're intentionally inclusive. So when we chatted about the topic today, we definitely talked about inclusive behaviors and inclusive leadership. And I add that extra I, intentionally inclusive. And that to me is really what drives or what differentiates this as a leadership principle than anything I hear people talking about right now.
It's really interesting you say that word intentionally, because I have used that same word myself in saying that we have to be intentional. In fact, when we were, you know, putting the board together for the Cybersecurity Collaborative, the executive committee, it's a diverse board, gender, ethnicity, but it had to be intentional. And you had to have somebody spearheading that. And you've got me, who's, you know, you could say is the non-diverse, is the stereotypical white male, had to be there and say, look, you know, there's so many people I can pick to do this, but it has to be intentional. And sometimes being intentional is hard, because I'm going after the same people that are being demanded by every other organization to help with. And so they're overtasked to begin with. And so it's really hard to actually be intentional, isn't it?
It's hard to be intentional when you're making those selections. It's very, very easy to say, oh, well, the slate for this candidate wasn't diverse enough. And, you know, we had to go with this candidate that was the best one available to us. It is really hard to be intentional. And then when you do have the great talent or the diverse talent, are you flexing this skill of including everybody's voice? Todd, I would tell you that that is where I have seen the bigger challenges. I've had the really blessed career, a really good fortune of working for some great leaders at really excellent companies. And where I see the challenges, it is because somebody's not flexing their leadership style to be inclusive, to be open to that inclusive. Because when you're inclusive, sometimes you get a message or a story or you get an opinion that you're not really looking for, right? So you have to be open that intentionally inclusive means you're going to ask questions you might not know the answer to. And that's almost counter to how we in cybersecurity operate in our technical roles, right? We don't ask questions we don't already know the answer to. But in inclusive leadership, you have to be willing to ask questions and be open to the fact that an answer might come that you weren't expecting. And I'd like to share an example. I'm rebuilding the team. You know, wherever I am, there's always a turnover or team building or expansion of a team. So in this case, here at Clorox, I had the opportunity to expand my team, and I'm moving some folks from our traditional infrastructure team and retooling them into cybersecurity. We all have the challenge of great cybersecurity leaders, but I think and not having enough of them. So I am investing in converting some of our great infrastructure talent into great security professionals. And I watched my staff meeting and I looked and I said, you know, I'm not getting as much out of this one particular person that I moved from infrastructure. And I wonder why, right? Why on our staff meeting is that person not contributing as much as I know they do in a one-on-one setting? And I really had to stop and say, independently, you know, offline from the staff meeting, tell me, you know, how you feel about the staff meeting. Tell me how it's going for you. You know, it doesn't seem to be a place that you feel comfortable opening up and sharing ideas that you share with me one-on-one. And the feedback was, Amy, our meetings are a little unstructured, right? So a staff, I've had one-on-ones with everybody. And then at the staff meeting, it becomes a little bit more of the cooler, especially over the last 3 years when we're not all in the same room ever. And it does become a little bit of the water cooler. What's going on? How are things going? What's the health of the team? What's the messaging going? And he said, really, I'm just more of a structured person. I need an agenda. And I said, I can do that. That's great feedback. And if that makes you feel like I'm listening mm-hmm. to you, your voice is being heard, I'm including your thoughts, that was an easy pivot. I can update my staffer appointment and outlook and have the three bullets. And still the first 10 minutes of the agenda is still, you know, kind of debrief, water cooler time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there, it's on the agenda. And the next step is roundtable and everyone provides the readout. And I've seen a pivot in that engagement just because I took the time to say, hey, this person's not contributing as much. I made the intentional investment to understand what would make that person feel more inclusive. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee I've been able to retain that resource far longer than I would have if I just chose to ignore that signal, that sign.
The article this podcast is based upon can be viewed in the best-selling cybersecurity leadership book, CISO Compass, Navigating Cybersecurity Leadership Challenges with Insights from Pioneers.
You hit on something key because we're all different. And in the CISO Compass book, where, you know, I engaged 75 other CISOs to help create this roadmap for CISOs, it devoted a whole chapter to, it's called Workforce Multi-Generational Work Dynamics. And there's really two aspects. The different generations that we grew up in influence our behavior, and then our individual personality differences, you know, the DISC profiles, the Myers-Briggs, the Enneagrams, you know, whatever tool you happen to use. And you won't see that in a lot of security books, but it happens to be just kind of a side hobby of mine. That's why it's in there. But I think it is so important to understand those little nuances. You know, the introverted person that's sitting in the meeting that's not speaking up, because the extroverts are taking over the meeting and filling up all the empty space when that one introvert in the meeting probably has the answer that you're looking for, but it doesn't get pulled out and they don't feel permission and they feel like they're interrupting somebody, where the extroverts in the room don't see it as interruption. They see it as dialogue and they wonder why the introvert is being so aloof off in the corner and not contributing to the meeting. And yeah. So, but you hit on something which, you know, what I've seen as we get into genders and so forth, you were tapping into, you know, how are they feeling? You know, what's the emotion that's going on there? And there's so many people that are just blind to that. It's just, we're down to the logic and the facts. And so we do need that diversity of thought in our meetings.
And it's interesting because I think it could take it a step further, Todd. We have to change as cyber leaders today, our team culture. A lot of how our security departments were evolved over the last 10, 20, 25 years were very technical in nature, very incident-based, so tactical. And as we have matured and we have a larger seat at the table, we've pivoted to strategic. And you've probably seen better than most how the evolution of a CISO skill set has changed. And this is just that one more turn the knob to the right a little bit more. you have to be a little bit louder about, are you an inclusive leader? Are you intentional at building and developing your team? And do you have the skill set to draw from to know how to develop team culture intentionally? Because if you just inherit a team and you just continue to do the work that we're doing, it's really important to the organization. But organizations are also pivoting and changing. I see it here in my role today, having to find ways to bring people back to the office, right? Return to work is changing the work culture. It's changing team dynamics. And this is a key component of a cyber program. You have to be able to pivot and build on that team culture. And this is one way that CISOs just need to be reminded that there are other tools in our toolkit besides all the things that we get paid for and the job description that include this level of people management. I find that it's a tool that we've had to sharpen, and we really have to do it a little bit different. There's a lot of great evolving articles about what does it mean to lead in 2022 and beyond, because you have a mixed remote environment. You have bigger challenges at identifying when somebody's not necessarily fully engaged. You have to have an additional tool in your toolkit as a leader to really, really scratch that surface and dig in. It's very mm-hmm. easy, because we are all heads down all day long, to not look up and say, oh, that person isn't as engaged as they should be. And that has to be one of our priorities to go after that. Otherwise, it affects the team culture. I saw that, you know, the minute we made that switch with that agenda, just that small change to our staff meeting, it really changed the culture. The team culture got better as a result of drawing out those little nuances that each person needs to hear and see to feel inclusive. One way that teams break down their team culture with the lack of inclusion is sarcasm. It's a lot of how we operate, right? Some people are very comfortable using sarcasm as humor, but being aware that sarcasm has a negative effect on your interactions with people and your team culture. And if you're not like triggering that, oh, that was a really sarcastic remark, somebody could have taken that in a way that is mm-hmm. going to reduce the strength of our team and our team culture, that's just as important as drawing out those inclusive moments as well.
And don't we have to be sensitive to the phrases that we may use all the time and that we've always used in the past as but different cultures, those phrases can actually be very hurtful. Mm-hmm. But they get adopted into a different space. Yeah. So how do you as a leader, say you have people from, you know, different races, different ethnicity, different genders, different backgrounds, because how do you get past your own filters mm-hmm. of because you only grew up in one of those backgrounds? And how as a leader do now you reach out and become inclusive with all these different things to leverage them, as you said, to get that engagement from them?
Yeah, I think the level of personal engagement and connection with each one of your team members as much as possible, right? Your direct reports, obviously, that has to be high. The emotional intelligence of your one-on-one relationship with each one of your direct reports has to be high, so that you build a safe place where you can have an honest conversation if somebody is feeling uncomfortable. You have to watch those visual cues, especially in the online interactions. You know, it's very easy for people to turn off the camera. I'm finding more and more people are having the Zoom fatigue and want their camera off for an interaction. And it's just really a challenge to stay engaged to make sure that those moments aren't missed. You're having a one-on-one, have some what we call here rhythms and norms to say, if we're on one-on-one, we're both going to be on video just so that we can see each other face-to-face. So that's an important component. It is a challenge to understand culturally where people are coming from and how people interpret either sarcasm or humor. But really, one example that I have that people don't even associate with a culture, you have been in a meeting, Todd, I'm certain of it. You have been in a room and somebody says, that's a no-brainer. I don't think people understand the impact of that statement. That's a no-brainer. This is an easy decision. Immediately, you have cut off anyone who wants to offer an alternative view to that discussion, period. Because it's a no-brainer. They should just be on board. Mm-hmm. It is something that simple and that influential that people, especially leaders, need to be reminded of is part of how you build an inclusive culture. Mm-hmm. And I try to give people feedback when I see those moments and there's still resistance. No, nobody took it that way. Amy, you're overreacting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Overreacting. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's making a judgment call right there as well. And, mm-hmm. and I remember, you know, that saying that, you know, that we were given two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. and sometimes we don't always leverage that. Yeah. So what other tips would you give us for being being that inclusive leader, that one that other people see that, hey, I want to go work for that person because, you know, my day would really be exciting.
I think it takes a lot of self-reflection, Todd. And that's why I am using this platform and this is the voice that I've chosen. This is the message that I've chosen, is it takes a lot of self-reflection. Again, I have worked for some really great leaders who didn't have the time invested in themselves to reflect back on, you know, some of these off-the-cuff comments or allowing team culture to really evolve with sarcasm and humor in a way that really reduced people's engagement. You have to be so self-aware. And that is hard because our jobs are hard in and of themselves. You know, we're all fighting the bad guys together. We are always, you know, one step behind from a technology perspective. Our jobs are hard, but to add in that human element is really an additional layer of introspection that people have to take. I absolutely have opted out of great roles in great companies because I didn't feel like the culture was as inclusive as mm-hmm. I wanted to be invested in. And that's not to say that those weren't great places to work. Maybe for others they were, but for me, they just weren't. And mm-hmm. and I can see how I have changed and how I have evolved and as a result of making a tough decision to leave a great role. And that is another component of this conversation that I mm-hmm. do a lot of coaching with and mentoring with other women in cybersecurity. It's a tough decision that once you have been promoted, especially to a leadership role, to choose to step away from a particular company. But do so intentionally. Know that you're looking for a different level of engagement. Know what questions you're going to ask when you're interviewing next time. You know, try to flush out those cultural conversations. I often also recommend people, and I do this myself, is find a culture mentor when you start a new company, not just your technical mentor, not somebody that knows how to navigate the politics mm-hmm. of your new company, but find a somebody that gets the culture and really be sure to embrace and understand what that is so you can, understand, I guess mm-hmm. is the best way I can put it, whether or not this is going to be, you know, the right role for you.
It's interesting how, you know, when you're with a company and you're engaged and you really like your boss and your leaders, I look back over my career. And I am still in touch with many leaders that I've had. And those leaders that I didn't have that respect for in companies or took that different approach or didn't really care about you as a person, I'm not in contact with those people anymore. Right. They're not in my life. But the other ones, I'm in life. I mean, I have, you know, one person I haven't worked with in over 6 years, and I'll be seeing him in a few weeks, you know, and I saw him in the summertime. And it's those kind of relationships that they extend beyond work, because it makes you feel good as a person. And I hope that I have done that with people that are still connected with me, well beyond doing the work stuff. So this has been great, Amy. I've really enjoyed this conversation. So are there any final pieces of advice, thoughts you'd like to give to new security leaders, emerging security leaders, current or experienced security leaders, as they go through this journey?
I do. There is never a time that you should not do this. You have to be thinking about your intentional inclusion of others immediately. You have to do it now. You have to do it every day. And if for nothing else, even if you're still working on building your diverse team, you have to also bring in and make that person feel welcome. So when you look at any of the, you know, the reports on even just women in cybersecurity, the numbers are growing, right? The ISIC women in workforce discussions, even Todd, your own research. There's a lot of ways that we can recruit, you know, kind of attract talent. But once you bring them in, the key to making this work really, really well is that we have to provide folks with a rewarding and a welcoming work experience. And this is, I think, one of the most important tools in a cyber leader today, as we try to overcome, you know, the challenges that we feel or that we are targeting, especially for women in cyber specifically, but just diversity in our teams can benefit from being inclusive and being intentional about that.
I think that's great advice. I don't think there's anything I could add to that would amplify it more. So thanks, Amy, for taking the time today.
Thanks, Tom.
WIS is on a mission to help every organization rapidly identify and remove critical risks in their cloud environments. Purpose-built for the cloud, WIS delivers full-stack visibility, accurate risk prioritization, and enhanced business agility. WIS connects in minutes using an agentless approach that scans both platform configurations and inside every workload. We perform a deep assessment that goes beyond what standalone CSPM and CWPP tools offer to find a toxic combination of flaws that represent real risk. To learn more about WIS, please visit securityweekly.com/WIS.